I am so glad to be able to celebrate moms and celebrate Mother's Day today. What a great day just to be able to honor, to set aside and say thank you for what ladies, what you do for us. And we just want to say thank you once again. I was reading an article regarding from a lady. She was writing about it's tough to be a lady and it's tough to be a mom sometimes. And so she was writing about that and she started talking about animals. And at first it kind of didn't make sense. And then after you started reading it, it became very funny and very humorous. And so I thought I would share it with you. She talks about as a lady, it would be kind of nice sometimes to be a bear, a mama bear. And here's what she said. She says, if you're a bear, you get to hibernate. You don't do anything but sleep for 6 months. I could get used to that. And then she continues and she says, another thing before you hibernate, you're supposed to eat yourself stupid. That wouldn't bother me either. And then she says, if you're a mama bear, everyone knows you mean business. You swat anyone who bothers you. You swat anyone who bothers your cubs. And if your cubs get out of line, you swat them too. And then she starts talking about what it would be to have a husband who was also a bear. And here's what she said. If your husband would expect you to growl when you wake up, that's pretty good, right? And then he also would expect you to have hairy legs and excess spotty fat, and he likes it. Oh, I wish I was a bear. That's pretty good. Now, today we're talking about Mother's Day, and we've been celebrating Mother's Day, and we're going to be going into a new series on parenting, and it's really the heart of parenting, and we're going to be talking through that. As we come into this day of Mother's Day, I know it can be a very polarizing day. For some, there's great excitement, anticipation, and just this celebration of maybe being a mom for the first time. For some, it's the excitement of seeing your kids make a craft for you. Instead of going out and buying some fancy toy or some fancy thing, they make the crafts, and you can see it coming from their heart. And they spent the time, and they made it, and they cut it out, and they have little handprints all over it, and have great poems that make you cry. And, oh, it's a beautiful day. For others, there's just a homecoming of the kids. The kids are actually coming home, and you get to go out to eat with them, and there's an excitement to be able to talk to the kids who are now out of the home, and they're away, and Mother's Day brings great joy, and there's a happiness there. At the same time, there can be a sadness. The grieving over a mother who is now passed. And as you think about your mom, it's hard. And to have a day that's set aside where you celebrate moms, you no longer have a mom who's present here on earth. And it's tough. And it just is gut-wrenching. And you start thinking, and the tears start flowing because you are so thankful for a mom who's been so kind. And there's also the tension and the depth of sorrow for those who maybe have not been able to have a child for whatever reason. And that makes it extremely tough to come to a day, and especially in church, where you're celebrating moms. And if for those of you who are maybe struggling with infertility, or there's something where it's just not allowing you to have a child, I want to let you know that as a church, we love and want to support and come alongside you and let you know that we do care and we understand that it can be a very hard day. And so as we come into this day, we're looking at Psalm chapter 127. We are still going to talk about mothers. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a parent. And we're really going to be going after the capturing a child's heart. This week, we're talking about capturing a child's heart. Next week, I'll continue the series. And I'm going to talk about how do you guide your child's heart? What does that look like? How do you guide your child's heart so that they go the direction that really God has intended for them? The following week, we're going to talk about responsibility. Did you know that God has given you as parents responsibility? And he's also given the child responsibility to take the teachings and what you teach them and to apply it to their own lives. And so there's a responsibility for the child. And then the following week, we're going to actually talk heart to heart, communicating from heart to heart. And then after that, for the rest of the year, I'll be going back into Matthew, and we'll be finishing out the year in the book of Matthew. And so I wanted to take a break from Matthew and hit a couple key topics that we needed to address as a church. And then this summer and through the fall, we'll be going back into Matthew. And so if you have your Bibles, Psalm 127 is where we're going to start. And to lay the foundation and lay the groundwork, we have to talk about what it means to actually go after the heart. Why do we want to go after our children's heart? The reason why is because Proverbs tells us that we are to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life, or it's the wellspring of life. Jesus reiterates the point in the New Testament when Jesus says, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever actions your kids are doing, whatever behavior they have, it always comes from where? Within. It comes from the heart. And so as a parent, our job is to be going after the heart. Now, the problem is this. It gets very hard to go after the heart. Why? Because you can't really see it. Plus, you get really busy. And sometimes, as a parent, let's just be real honest. Sometimes the prayer is, if I don't mess my kids up too bad, I've succeeded. Right? Or sometimes it's just like, if I could just get them to graduation, yes. For some, it's just like, I don't have to pay the bills anymore. They'll be out. Yes, they can do it on their own. Maybe it's just like, hey, if I could just get them married, man, if I could marry them off, that'd be great. I don't know where it is for you, but there's this idea, I'm just ready to move on. And parenting becomes very tough. And one of the things with our own schedules is this, is that for us, we have to remember that we have to go after our kids' heart. And God has called us to go after their heart, and it's more than behavior change. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about it and working through it. So Psalm 127, if you have your Bibles, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Psalm 127, let's go all the way down to verse 3, and here's what it says. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to celebrate the mothers in our lives. Father, I also want to say thank you for how that you've worked through our moms. God, whether we've had a bad experience or a good experience, God, even today, the fact that we're here, God, you used a mom to bring us into this world. And so we say thank you. Father, I pray now that over the next few minutes, as we look into your word, that God, you would guide us, you would direct us, would you encourage us, would you teach us? And God, I pray that we would hear from you. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. So here's what we have. We start off in Psalm 127. And the question is, how do we gain or how do we capture our children's hearts? And it starts here in verse 3. And here's what it says. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. The very first point that we have to come to and that we need to understand is this. That children are a gift from God. It sounds simple. It sounds extremely simple, and you're going, Heath, that's not that profound. I mean, why do we even need to talk about it? And the reason we need to talk about it is because over the last few decades, children have become viewed as more of a nuisance than a gift. Let me give you an example. We get frustrated because our schedules no longer are flexible. You have a kid for the first time, and young parents struggle with this. Why? Because now you can't just go to the movies anytime you want. Now you actually have to, oh, I can't go, got a kid. You can't just go hang out anytime you want. You're now confined to someone else's schedule. That little baby begins to control and reorganize your life. It becomes very frustrating, doesn't it? No longer do you get a full night's sleep. Somebody else determines when they wake up, when you wake up, when you actually get to go to sleep, when you don't go to sleep. They even control jumping in your bed in the middle of the night. And there's this movement of waking you up, and you're going, okay, now wait a minute, time out. We got to change this. And children become sometimes frustrating. Why? Because we forget that they're a gift from God. Our schedules get busy. Our careers almost have to be put on hold sometimes because of a little child coming into our life. And now you have to begin looking at your career in a different way. Maybe you even change careers just so that you can either be gone more or so you can stay home more. One or the two. It becomes hard to stay home. It's actually easier to go to work than to stay home with kids. And now we begin to get frustrated. And let me just start and talk for just a moment, because here in our society, we even struggle with kids who are born outside of marriage and the high percent that are actually born to a fatherless home. And when you add that dynamic into our society, where so many babies are brought into a world where they mom and dad are not married and not together, what begins to happen is this. When you find out that there's a pregnancy, no longer is there an excitement and joy and, hey, mom, dad, guess what? We're pregnant. Now there's fear, anxiety, and oh no, my dad's going to kill me when he finds out that we're pregnant. What are we going to do? I got to finish high school. What are we going to do? I got to finish college. And now babies become more of a nuisance. Are you tracking with this? And what we need to understand is this. Children are a gift from God. It is a blessing to be able to have a child. Whether you have a child through your own body or whether you get to adopt a child, having children and being a parent is a gift. It's a privilege. It's a blessing from God. Now, out in the foyer, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but out here in the foyer, there's these little baby bottles. Now, we're not asking everybody to go home and start drinking out of a bottle. What we're asking is that you take one of these bottles and you begin to fill it with your change. And the reason we do this from Mother's Day to Father's Day. And the reason we do this is that all the money raised through the bottles, it goes to the Pregnancy Resource Center here in the Grand Prairie. Why do we do that? It's to help ladies, young men who are at a point in their life, there's a baby and they're not really for sure what they're going to do with it. And they're asking deep, hard questions. Should I get rid of the baby? Is the baby even really a baby at this point? Maybe it's just an embryo. Maybe it's just something that I need to get rid of. And they're asking hard questions. And so the Pregnancy Center is a place in which we have several ladies in our church who work over and interact with and sponsor and help these young ladies, these young men, walk through the question of what to do with their baby that's growing inside of them. And they work through and they come alongside. And what a blessing, because here's what we believe as a church. You ready? Every baby is a gift from God. Every baby is a gift from God. The life that has been given is a gift from God. The baby's not the sin. The baby's not the problem. Did you catch that? Because that's worth repeating. The baby's not the sin and the baby's not the problem. So what we need to do as a church is we come alongside and we say, children are a gift. At whatever stage, children are a gift. And as a church and as believers, when we begin to understand that children are a gift, then we begin to look at our own lives and we begin to look at our own situations. And here's what we have to do. When you're choosing between a career or kids, kids are a gift from God. Isn't that great? Kids are a gift from God. There's something that God gives to you as a blessing and something that we should celebrate. Now, I read this past semester in the men's study. We were talking about going after our kids' hearts. And we were talking about what it actually looks like to go after our kids' hearts. How do we work through this as a father, as a man? How do we get our kids' hearts and capture our kids' hearts so that they come towards us? And first of all, before we even started talking about that, we had to ask the question, well, how, as a father, would we lose kids' hearts, our children's hearts? I took this list. This list came right from the study that we were using. And I wrote it down and I copied it and I put it out on my desk. And I looked at it for the next couple of weeks. And I allowed it to work in my own heart and work in my own life because I wanted to know, is there a place where in my life that I'm driving my kids away? Are there places in which I'm actually pushing my kids away? And here's the reality. When I don't see my kids as a gift, it's easy to push them away and see them and lose their hearts. And this list I thought was so important that I think it works for moms and dads, and I think we both need to look at it. So here's the list. Number one, you lose your kids' hearts by your absence. By your absence. You can use whatever excuse, your work, your job, your employment. Maybe it's that golf game. Maybe it's that league, that baseball league that you have to be involved in. You can use whatever it is, but your absence from the home and your absence away from the kids causes your kids to become frustrated, upset, and you lose your child's heart. Two, what about your anger Whew, this is a tough one. Especially guys, you ready for this? Your anger, you getting upset and flying off the handle and you start screaming things or yelling things. Ladies, you start throwing things. Your anger can cause your children to back off very quickly. Well, Heath, we don't really throw things, really? What about that passive aggressive nature that you have? In your anger, you can lose your child's heart. What about unjust discipline? Where you discipline in such a way that maybe you discipline while you're angry, or you discipline very harshly for something that really wasn't that big a deal. Unjust discipline. What about harsh criticism? If you have a sharp tongue or a quick wit, this might be one of those hard things for you that you can just quickly say things and spew things out. Why didn't you do this? Why aren't you more like your sister? Why aren't you? I can't believe you would do that. Only an idiot would do that. And all of a sudden, your words become crystal clear that you do not value your child as a gift from God. What about lack of compassion? I am really glad in my own personal life that I've had a wife who brings compassion to the marriage. She brings that soft nature in which, oh, we actually care for the Band-Aids instead of say, hey, you're bleeding. That's not that much blood. Go on out and play. I'm so glad for compassion. And yet compassion is one of those things to actually stop and realize, oh yeah, I probably need to be a little kinder. What about favoritism? Oh yeah, it happens. Especially when there's one child who takes after you more. And oh man, they know how to push your buttons. You have one of those kids? They have the same personality, and man, they just know how to push your button. And then there's the other one who's like your spouse, and oh man, you love your spouse. So man, this is just so precious seeing it. And oh, this is awesome. And there's favoritism that can easily develop. What about hypocrisy? Oh man. Living one way here at church. Yeah, and then going home and being something completely different. And you can say, well, Heath, I've raised my kids in church. I hear you. I'm glad you raised your kids in church. But what you do at home between Sunday to Sunday has a greater impact than just coming to church. Hypocrisy. What about hurting your spouse? In the list, it actually, because this was for men, it says hurting your wife. But let's just say hurting your spouse. Because this goes back and forth. This is a way in which you lose your child's heart. Being critical of their mother. Being critical of the husband. Your dad is such an idiot. I can't believe he would do that. I mean, he always forgets. How many times have I told him? Does that make sense? Hurting. And it doesn't mean that you punched him in the eye. But it could be something as simple as the criticism going towards the spouse. Misunderstanding, not listening to the kids. Unrealistic expectations. You know, you got an 89. I thought you were really smarter than that. I mean, you should have at least a 99. I mean, I'll give you 1 point. But you should have, does that make sense? Unrealistic expectations. We put it higher and higher and say, this is what you should be. It's a great way to lose their heart. I like the list because I think it's very important to come back and understand and help push me. And it encouraged me to work through. Do you really see your kids as a gift from God? And if you do, then it begins to help reshape those 10 things to be something that you say, I'm going to go after it in a different way. There was a young lady, a young girl who was in the pre-K, and as she would come to church, she would always respond. When they say, what's your name? That she would always respond, I'm Mr. Brown's daughter. Who are you? I'm Mr. Brown's daughter. Who are you? I'm Mr. Brown's daughter. And so one day the mom heard this and she said, honey, as they were going home, you're not Mr. Brown's daughter. You're Jane Brown. You're Jane Brown. And so the next week as they were coming to church, she made sure she reminded her daughter, honey, you're not Mr. Brown's daughter. You're Jane Brown. So when she got up and they were checking her in, the teacher's like, are you Mr. Brown's daughter? And she says, oh, I thought I was. My mama told me I'm not. Kids have a way. Kids have a way of taking what we say and they can change it around. And even when they say the wrong things, And even when they say the wrong things at the wrong time. Have you ever had one of those kids? They just constantly, they put your foot in your mouth for you. And they say the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong people. And you're going, I can't believe you would say that. Children are a gift from God. They're a gift from God. Look at what it says. I want to move you back up to Psalm 127. Go to verse 1. This is so important. This is so foundational. Because here's what it says. Solomon now writes in verse 1. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Now, this can be for any of your programs, anything in your work, your career. It can work for anything, but let's specifically talk about the family. And here's what he says. Those who labor build it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. He lays it out and he says, for you, what you're going after. You want a perfect family. You want a good family. You want good kids. You want kids who actually do something for the cause of Christ. You want kids who actually just don't go to jail. You want kids, you're trying to build, and man, there's anxiety. There can be anxiety in parenting. You wake up in the middle of the night and going, man, my kid is just blowing it. They're just messing it up, and there's anxiety and it's frustration. Let me encourage you. If you're trying to do it on your own and under your own power and under your own strength, you will never be a good enough parent. You won't make it. But unless the Lord builds it, unless God is invited into the parenting process, unless God is invited into what we're trying to accomplish, you are going to labor in vain. You can add it to your career. You can add it to everything else. I use this verse on Wednesday night with a combined leadership. Why? Because it challenges us. Guys, we're not going after just a church. We're going after a church that brings honor and glory to God. And the only way we can do it is not by more strategies, not by more plans, not by harder work. The only way we can do what we're called to do is this: invite God in and say, God, you do whatever you want. And that's the plan and that's the purpose for this parenting movement, is to say this: God, we want to invite you in because we understand that we can't do it on our own and we can't do it under our own. You can read 20 parenting books, but unless God is invited in, you'll miss it all. Unless the Lord builds it. Children are a gift from God. And when you understand it's God being invited in, now you can get to God. You gave us this gift. Now help us to do what we're called to do. Now look what he now does. Go to verse 4. So children are a gift. Now look at verse 4. He says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. I like this. He calls children weapons. Did you ever think about your child being a weapon? They could be a weapon of mass destruction, can't they? You give them 30 minutes in a room without your attention, that room is going to be blown up. You're going to have everything dumped out, crayons everywhere. Things are going to be written on the wall. It's going to happen. Weapons of mass destruction, or they could be weapons of mass potential. You give them crayons, scissors, glue, paper. Give them 30 minutes, and you're going to have a creation that has never been seen in this world before. They have potential. Now look what he says. He chooses to use an archer, and he calls him a warrior who is skilled with a bow and an arrow. He could have chosen a sword, right? He could have chosen a sword in which a warrior has to learn how to defend and to swing it back and forth and with precision cut. But he didn't choose a sword. Why? Because the sword has to stay in the hand. And nobody wants a child who's 35 years old and still living at home. That's not the goal. Now, there could be a circumstance where the kid has to come back, but let's be honest. As a parent, you're wanting to do what? Not keep them at home. Your goal is to actually move them out and to launch them. Now, a soldier would have to do something very interesting. They would practice hundreds and hundreds of hours in order to learn the skill of being an archer. He would have to learn the stance. He would have to learn how to get his shoulders. He would have to learn how to push the bow out. He would learn how to make it come to the same exact spot every time. And then he would have to learn how to aim it up over walls, how to light it on fire. He'd have to learn how to shoot it, to have the arrow go in the exact place every time. But once it left, then the arrow can do different things. And as a parent, here's what Solomon's helping us understand. Your job, children are a weapon, and it's your job to guide, to direct, and to become skillful in the art of parenting. Do you realize that in order to launch your child correctly into the next part of their life, the foundation had to be laid correctly in the previous phase? You can't launch them correctly into college and into their careers unless you laid the foundation in their teen years. You cannot have teens who are actually living out God's purpose as teens. And yes, it can happen. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Joseph, Esther, all early teens living out what God has called them to do. It can happen even in today's world. But they can't be godly teens unless you as a parent laid the foundation in the preteen years. They can't be godly preteens unless you laid the foundation in the elementary years. Are you hearing this? And they can't be godly elementary kids unless you've actually laid the foundation as 3- and 4-year-olds. And they can't do 3- and 4-year-olds as well if you didn't lay the foundation as a toddler. You and I are called as parents, as grandparents, to become skillful in the art of parenting so that as they get close, each step, each phase, toddler, preschool, elementary, each step is pulling it back further and further. And as they go into their teen years, you're getting close. And as they get into the college years, you're pulling it back and you're aiming and you're guiding and you're putting into them instructions and care. And you've taught them how to go after their heart and take their heart and go after God. And as they get into their careers, here's what your goal is. Your goal is this, to help them go further, faster than if you would not have been in their life. Matter of fact, it's your goal to help them understand God's vision for their life, not your vision. It's tempting as you watch a little baby 2 weeks old to then you get into the teen years and then you keep having these dreams and you're saying, man, I want my child to do this. I want her to do this. I want him to do this. And you have these visions and grand thoughts. But the reality is what? As a parent, you are not aiming them towards your personal goal. Your job is to aim them towards God's vision in their life. And God has a plan and God has a goal for them. And your job is to help pull it back so that they go straight towards the target. And the target is who? God and his vision and his plan. A few weeks ago, I was out at my kids. I have 4 kids. I have 3 daughters and 1 son. And so we were out at, they enjoy sports. And so we were out at the T-ball field. And at the T-ball field the other night, we had a great game. It was one of those fun, but it's interesting, even in T-ball, how you see the visions and the dreams of the parents being put onto the kids. Have you ever been around that? Where it's the parents thinking that they should already be, you know, professional ball players at 6 years old, at 5 years old. You're going, man. And it was one of those games. I mean, the score was tied. And I mean, we were like 14 to 14. It was one of those great games. Everybody's scoring. It was all fun. And I mean, parents in the stands, energy got a little high. And it kept getting higher. You know what I'm talking about? And then you kept watching the dreams of the parents. Oh, they were either crushed when their kids struck out in T-ball or they were just excited when they got a home run. And so we were just going through it. And there was a moment when one of the moms got so frustrated, she ran to the dugout and they started having words with the other mom in the dugout. And then we start seeing pushing. Not kidding. And all the kids are in the dugout. My son's right there, big eyes. You see these ladies going at it, and they're pushing. And next thing you know, to whack. I mean, she jacked her right in. Oh, man. I was almost cheering, but then I realized I'm a pastor and I'm not supposed to be doing that. Man, I enjoy a good fight. You know, we want to say, and you pay for it. You just want to see somebody get knocked out. And so, but then you realize, T-ball, this is not supposed to be happening. Oops. And so, and they're two moms. That's, yeah. Anyway, whew. Visions, dreams. If God gave your child to you as a gift, it is God who gives the vision and the purpose for the child. And it's not your job to give the vision. It's your job to encourage it and to launch your child towards the vision that God has given. Okay, you ready? Let me give you one last. Here's the next one. Go down to verse 5. It says, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. With what? Kids. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. I love this. This is where it gets really exciting. Because he says, kids not only are a gift from God, not only are they weapons, but they're a blessing. Happy is the man. You could actually take the word blessed and say happy is the man. Happy is the man. Happy is the woman who has kids in their life. Why? Because kids bring joy. They bring laughter. They ask some of the craziest questions, don't they? They ask some of the craziest questions, and it just brings a joy to watch a kid look into a puppy's face for the first time and get licked, and all of a sudden you're just laughing because the kid's going, what just happened? To hear the giggle of a newborn baby, to watch for the first time your child succeed on a test. There's excitement, there's joy. It says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Whether you have one child through adoption, one child through natural means, or you have four or five, it's a blessing. It's a blessing, and it fills your heart with joy. Precious memories that you'll take the rest of your life to continue to enjoy. But let me be real honest. It's hard to enjoy a kid who consistently makes poor choices, right? Your heart goes out to them. You want to enjoy. And here's what it says. It says, at the gate. You see the at the gate? When you go to the gate and your enemies ask, you're not going to be ashamed because you've honed your skills as a parent. And you've guided them to God's purpose and God's plan. The gate would be a place of commerce, a place of interaction, a place of business, a place of talk. So let's just say this. It could be the place where you go golfing. It could be the place where you go have coffee. Maybe it's the Starbucks or maybe it's the hair salon. Where you go and you see not only friends, but you see, you know, that enemy. Maybe you don't really want to call her the enemy, but, you know, she's the rival. And you see them. And what inevitably happens is this. They ask the question, how's your kids? And when your child has been going and making wise choices, it brings joy, doesn't it? All of a sudden, the eyes light up, whether you're you have a kids or you have grandkids, your eyes light up and you start telling the stories. Guess what they did this week? Guess what? And you start talking because old men like to talk. Old ladies like to talk. More than just about the weather. They talk about their kids, their grandkids, and they share. And it says, you'll be blessed by having kids in your life. You'll be blessed because what they bring to your life. A few years ago, my kids were... It was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and we were out playing in the backyard, and we were playing catch. And so my two youngest ones, they were 3 and 5, and they weren't in school yet. And so we were outside playing. It was during the summer, and we were playing catch. I was playing catch with the two older ones. And next thing you know, I hear this, Dad, Dad, hurry, hurry. And it sounded more like afraid. So the two little ones, I run over to where the two little ones are, and they found a mouse. And it was up on the porch. And so they were just, Dad, and they were running all over chasing the mouse. And they were, it was squeals. Every time the mouse would run between their legs, and there was squeals. And I mean, so I did what any good dad would do. I had a glove and I had a ball inside of it. So I took it and I went, whack. I killed the mouse on the first hit. I was so proud. I was like, man, yeah. Took care of it. I was the hero, right? I'm thinking, I saved the day. My wife is going to be happy because the mouse is not in the house. And so it's just a great day. I'm thinking, great. Well, I misinterpreted the screams. The screams were of sheer excitement and joy. And soon as I hit that mouse, you remember, I hit that mouse. As soon as I hit the mouse, every one of my kids hit their knees. Not even kidding. They hit their knees, they're down on the ground, and there's tears coming down. You killed the mouse. And then my son's like, I love my pet. I'm like, pet? Where did we get pet? This is not a pet. This is a rodent, you know? And so I'm just going, oh no. So my wife comes out because she hears all the commotion. And now she gives me the stare down look. I'm like, I was good. One hit. I kept going back to the one hit. One hit. That was awesome. So we had to get a box. We had to decorate the box. We had a funeral procession out to the little place where we had dug a hole. We put the mouse into the hole, and guess what they say? My wife looks at me, she says, you're the pastor, you need to say something. Are you kidding me? It's a mouse. It's a mouse. So I have to say a few things over the mouse, and then she looked at me and she says, pray. I had to pray over a mouse. Not kidding. And then my kids, we kind of worked through that. And so I had to go buy them all Cokes, right? You had to buy them the big Cokes just to, you know, just trying to, here's some fries. And I just, anything bad that you've ever wanted, here you go. I was the worst dad ever. Parenting. It brings you joy, doesn't it? When you realize that they're a gift, there's such joy to retell the stories and the memories of being a parent. What a great privilege it is. In which we as parents get to come alongside, and it's a gift. Not to hang on to, not to keep. You have 18 years, 20 years, and they are launched to be what God has called them to be. What an incredible opportunity. What an incredible privilege. It brings joy. It brings joy. They're a gift, something that we should celebrate. It's something for us to say, God, thank you. Help me to be the parent. Hone my skills as parents so I can guide them. And then you end up with saying, okay, God, here I am. I give you my life. I give you my kids' life, God, and you'll let it be the joy in your life. I'm going to ask the musicians to come on out. This is a day I wanted to celebrate. I wanted to celebrate because moms, you are special. Parents, thank you for what you do. To go after your kid's heart is the highest quest and the highest goal that you could ever have. It's not the promotion. It's not the job. Go after your kid's hearts. They will bring joy to you, and God has designed it for this short few years. And if you're a grandparent, let me just speak to you for just a second. As a grandparent, you have a job and you have a goal. Your goal is to go after those grandkids' hearts as well. It's your job. Send them little cards. Send them little gifts. You don't have to send big things. Send little $5 cards, a dollar card. Send them a sucker. As they get older, if they're teenagers, you probably don't want to send a sucker. But you might text them. You might encourage them. You might do. Find ways to go after their heart. You'll never regret it. And you'll be able to celebrate what God's doing in their life.